I got this big idea this week that if we stand firm and living a life of faith, it begins with exercising our faith. And I talked a little bit about that last week. And we must trust by faith that God is who He says He is. Amen? And that we are who He says we are as children of God. God doesn't break His promises, does He? So let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, help us today. Lord, help us today understand more and trust You more of who You are and who You say we are. And so, Lord, I thank You for what You're going to do today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, you know, today I'm going to begin an encouraging sermon series through 1 Thessalonians. But we'll have to miss next week because Ken and Danica will be here next week. And so I'll have to skip that week, but then I'll continue on the following week. And 1 and 2 Thessalonians were some of the first epistles that were or letters ever written by Paul. And the church in Thessalonica was one of the churches established by Paul during his second missionary journey, too. And all that to say that we get a firsthand look into how Paul, the apostle, the pastor, he encouraged this young church. And but before we get into all that, I want to give you a little background about Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was a coastal town on a major Roman road. It was the way of the nations. It was running eastward from Rome. The road did, and it's a seaport, and it was also very close to a rich, well-watered coastal plain. And these three advantages made Thessalonica the largest, most important commercial and political center in Macedonia. And Thessalonica was a cosmopolitan metropolis, similar to Corinth, if you read about Corinth. It was inhabited by peoples from all over the known world. It was a multicultural city. There were people from the north that were living there. They were bringing them pagan religions into the culture, the barbaric cultures. Greeks lived there, coming from all over the south and from the islands of the Aegean Sea. In turn, they brought their refinements of philosophies and all that. It kind of merged together. And when you read all the places that Paul talks about, but Romans from the west also settled there, and there were mostly retired soldiers, and they brought their strength of will, wealth, and political power there. And finally, the Jews came in large numbers from the east, and eventually 1/3 of the population was Jewish, eventually. And the diversity of people and with their diversity of thoughts and culture made this Thessalonica an interesting place for the early church to take root. And so just a little background there about what Paul was dealing with and what the church was dealing with. The constant pressure they were under of the dissenting opinions of and power structures often led to persecution and segregation of those early Christ followers. And we can read about that. And so it was really hard for the early church there. They had to learn sometimes that the hard way. To stand firm in their faith, to no matter what was going on around them. And I want to ask you this: when was the last time you really had to either step out in faith or stand firm in your faith? When was the last time that you really had to just, okay, God, I'm giving it all to You. I can't do this on my own. You know, there have been many times in my life when I have been challenged so hard, and I've come to understand that it won't be the last time either, because there's been many times. And Jesus said we'll have trials, didn't He? We'll all experience difficult seasons in our life, and I don't think that's new news to any of us here. But the challenge is remaining faithful and steadfast and resilient through all those difficult times. And, you know, it's interesting. This seems to be the exact type of season that the church at Thessalonica was experiencing. And one of the reasons that Paul wrote to them was to encourage them to stand firm in their faith because of all the hardships they were going through. And when we read that message, his message to the church is one of the greatest messages, and still there's so much we can learn from it today. Even 2,000 years later, it hits, I mean, it's just like it sometimes is so familiar to us of what we go through in life. So be encouraged, Paul's message to the church. Be encouraged. And here's what Paul says in his letter in 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, 2, and 3. He said, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor promoted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. This we continually to remember you. And I want to be like that. I want to continue to remember all of you every day of the week in my prayers. I want to continue to remember the things that you go through in your life, like what Emily's gone through and what Wren has gone through and what many of others have gone through. I want to continually remember that. And also I want to continually to remember the praises that we heard this morning. The praises like, I thank God, even though I had to go through a hardship, I thank God because I saw Him do a mighty thing in my life. I had to trust Him. You know, I had to trust Him at a point in my life not too many years ago. I had to just say, Lord, whatever happens, happens. I trust You. I trust You. You know, we look at these three specific areas of encouragement that Paul identifies in the church, and he calls out their work produced by faith. Their work produced by faith, their labor prompted by love, and their endurance inspired by hope. You know, work, labor, and endurance are active words. They're actually a dynamic word used to describe the faith that they had. Love and hope being exercised in the Thessalonian church. You know, this exercise, this work that's put forth into it of having hope, and these are dynamic words. Their faith was not a passive faith. Their faith was lived out in front of everybody. You know, I've heard and read stories about how the early Christians praised God even when they were being drug out into the streets or being beaten or being even worse killed or even crucified or thrown to the lions. They would praise God and say, I thank God for this moment. Man, I can't imagine that kind of faith, can you? But it was witnessed by others from the early church. Their faith was not passive, nor could it be ignored by the culture around them. You know, I see a lot of comparison with the culture then and our culture today that's starting to develop right now in our country. I see a culture coming together that really hates the church. We see this diverse, you know, culture of all kinds of different religions that came from all different parts of the world, and they didn't fall in line like the early America did. People came to America and they fell in line with the belief system and fell in line with how we did things. And now it's not like that. They're starting to fight against that. They're starting to say, well, we don't like that. We like what we came from. Well, you know, and my question is, why'd you come? If you should have stayed, if you liked it so much there. But I'm not going that way this morning. So here's Paul, and they needed to be encouraged. They needed the encouragement of Paul to keep going in their faith. And so that's what Paul does in this letter. This is the large part why he wrote to them in the first place, was just to encourage, to strengthen them, to equip them, to admonish them, and to exhort them to keep on going. You know, in another epistle letter to Timothy, he says this, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You know, when the moment that you get saved, you know, that moment he's saying, fight that good fight, and you keep fighting that fight, just like that first time when you confessed your sins and you received salvation for the first time. What a wonderful feeling it is, isn't it? You remember the day that you got saved? Man, that is like the best day ever, isn't it? But he's saying, don't ever forget that day. Keep fighting just like that first day. You know, you were just ready to take on the whole world then. Don't let that slip away from you. Don't give up. Keep fighting for faith. Take hold of the life that God has given you. So where do we hear that kind of faith today? Where do you hear that kind of faith today? Where do you hear that kind of encouragement today? You don't hear it much in the world, do you? Who has a Paul-like voice this morning? That is the encourager. Who is that in your life that is the encourager in your life? To keep fighting for the faith. Not fighting for the things of this world, but fighting for the faith. Who knows you well enough to call out your specific areas of victory and encouragement? Yeah, I'm glad for myself. I really am so glad that I've got good encouragers in my life. Some of you are right here in this church. But I have encouragers that constantly call me or send me a message and tell me to keep it up, keep going, keep doing. I run into a person just recently in the store, and I know them just out, you know, from outside the church. They've never, they've never been as long as I've been pastor here, but I know them in the community, and they said, "Are you still preaching?" I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Good, don't quit." And I was like, man, that made me feel good. He said, don't quit. Keep preaching. Keep it up, brother. We need you. Amen? That made me feel good. It made me just like, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to, you know, just start shouting. I mean, because inside of me, I felt so good about that. That's why it's important that you go to church. You know, we come to church so that we can be encouraged. Amen? That's my goal, is to encourage you guys. And I don't want to preach messages that beat you up. I'm going to preach the Word of God, and sometimes the Word of God beats you up. It just does. Sometimes it really steps on our toes. But me, I want to be like Paul. I want to be the guy that encourages. I want to be that person that encourages you to keep going in your faith. Keep it up. Strengthen your faith. You know, we need to be good encouragers to everybody else too. You know, you see, it's difficult, isn't it, in this world we live in, and maybe almost impossible to stand firm in our faith without each other. We need each other. That's why it's so important that we come together as a church body. We come together as a church body to encourage each other, to lift each other up. We don't come together to tear each other apart. We come to be encouraged and to give encouragement. Because this world, like I said last week, will kick the faith right out of you. It will. It'll destroy your faith. And so we need each other. We need to set aside sometimes our differences and worship together and pray together and encourage each other. Paul said, you know, encourage one another. Love one another. Be there for one another. There's a whole message on the one another's. You can Google that if you want to, the one another's. And there's a whole line of scripture about the one another's. And it's really good. It's really good. We need to be built up and learn how to build into the faith of others. And building each other up. Throughout the New Testament, there's lots of references of things being built up and established. In many of Paul's letters, he uses this type of language. If you read, he uses that language to talk about how we are to encourage one another, and that's building each other up. We are to build up into Christ and into a firm and unshakable faith. Man. One that can withstand anything. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 and 11 says this, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life. Oh, wait. Let me go back. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. See, so this church was a church that was encouraging each other. He was giving them a little praise for that. Therefore, since we belong to Christ, amen? Who belongs to Christ this morning? Amen? I'm not afraid to raise my hand. Amen? I belong to Christ. And since we belong to Christ, the day we have received eternal salvation through Him, we are to engage in the most important building project ever. And that building project, the greatest of all time, is the church. And who is the church? It's not just the building. It's us, isn't it? We are to, you know, he says, I'm here to build my church. And he said, I'm Peter. He told Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. In other words, he's saying, Peter, you build each other. You build people up. You encourage people. You love people. Peter, do you love me? Well, yeah, I love you. No. Do you really love me? Then build my church. You see? Encourage my church. Love my church. Amen? The word Paul uses for build here in Thessalonians is the same root word that Jesus uses in Matthew 16, 18 when he first mentions the church. And it says there in Matthew 16, 18, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Man, that's faith, isn't it? That the gates of hell will not prevail when you have that kind of faith. Encourage one another. Jesus makes this declaration here that I'm going to build my church, and Paul picks up the language saying, build each other up. Build the church. We have to encourage one another. And Paul's exhortation here to the Thessalonians is to continue this building project. And it's been handed down to us, church. It's our job now to build the church. And how do we build that church? We build each other up. We encourage each other. We love each other through good times and bad times. Because let me tell you, this world is not always good times, is it? This world sometimes can be pretty rough. And so we need each other to be that build up, to be encouraged, to be loved. When I come to church, I want to be loved on, right? I want to be encouraged. I don't want to go away from church going, man, whew, do I have to go back? I mean, sometimes I wonder if people don't go to church and leave like that. Thinking, do I really have to go back and be a part of that? There's a lot of people that's had really bad experiences in churches because they weren't encouraged and built up. They were beat up and pushed out. Their building was tore down instead of built up. We're all called to continue that work. And then after us, new believers. I mean, we're to raise up encouragers. We're to train up encouragers. We're to mentor and disciple. You know, I went on that whole long series about discipleship. You guys probably don't want to hear that word ever again. But that's what we're supposed to do. In fact, the work won't be completed until Jesus is returned. Amen? When he comes for His church, amen? When He comes for His church, and at some point in the future, we know that's going to happen. We don't know exactly when, but we think it's close. We feel it in our bones. We see it in the Scripture. We see things happening that line up with the Scripture, and we think, man, is it now? Let me tell you, it's closer now than it ever has been. Let me tell you, there's a day coming. There's a day coming soon when we're going to see Jesus. And it'll be just like that. It'll just be like that, and we'll be caught up together. Amen? And that's why we got to stand firm in our faith until that time comes. We have to stand strong in our faith. We don't give up or grow weary of building one another up. Hope and encouragement, and it's repeated throughout the letters of Paul. And maybe the most famous book of Ephesians, where Paul encourages believers to stand firm and to embrace the full armor of God. Put on the armor of God. Get ready for spiritual battles, what he's saying. Ephesians 6, 10 and 13 says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Amen. "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, have faith." Have faith. Trust Him. We got to learn to just like the early church, just like the early church in Thessalonica, to stand firm in our faith. Stand firm in your faith. If you've ever played tug of war, you know how important it is to get a good grip, plant your feet right. You know, I watch these guys do that, and they got mud pit in the middle, you know. But that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get you off your feet. He wants you to lose your grip and drag you through the mud of this world. He wants to drag you through the dirty, nasty stuff of this world, and that's what he tries to do. And Paul is saying, keep your grip. Stand firm. I know that there's some here this morning probably that feel like their life right now is a tug of war. You feel like that you gain a little and you lose a little, and you gain a little and you lose a little, and you just keep pulling. And that's life. That's life sometimes. And Paul is saying, just keep pulling. Keep your feet planted. Keep your feet planted in the Word of God. Keep your grip on the Word of God and encourage one another to keep on going. And when you watch a team and you got two teams and they're pulling against each other, you hear them encouraging each other. You don't hear them say, give up, right? You hear them say, come on, Hang on, let's go, keep pulling, keep tugging. And that's what Paul does to the church. And that's what my message is to you today. Keep your grip. Keep your feet planted. And just keep pulling. And Jesus will see us through. You know, but I want to encourage you today to dig your heels in and tighten your grip on what you know is true. And give complete, relinquish all control of the game of life to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Take a stand today on what you know is true and right and good. And that's the Word of God. And if you need somebody to walk with you, if you need somebody to walk with you through this process, this church is here for you. Amen. I'm here for you. I'll tell you that much. I'm here for you. And I know there's many in this church that's here for you too. So let us together be good encouragers through this process of life. Let's be a strong group pulling together in this ministry. You know, ask someone close to you for accountability. That's hard. But let me tell you, it's necessary in life. We need accountability in our life, and it's good to have somebody that you can talk to. Now, you don't have to talk to everybody, because not everybody you want to talk to. But let me tell you, it's good to have somebody to talk to, isn't it? I know that there was three preachers met for an accountability group. You guys may have heard this before. They got to talking, and the first preacher says, "Man, I've been struggling this week." He said, "I like to buy lotto tickets and gamble." And they said, "Well, we'll pray for you, brother." And the second one said, "You know," he said, "I've really been struggling." He said, "I say words I don't need to say." He said, "I just get all mad," and he said, "I'll blurt out words I don't need to say." He says, "I got a problem with anger and bad words." And they said, "Well, what about you, preacher?" And the third preacher said, "Well," he said, "I got a problem with gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here." Oh, my goodness. It's good to laugh sometimes. But, you know, we need each other to laugh and to encourage each other and to love each other. Amen? And so I would say over the next few weeks as we're going to continue through 1 Thessalonians, and I would ask you to start reading. Read through 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. It's so good. And read Paul's encouragements to the church. So read ahead and spend some time thinking about your testimony of faith. Because let me tell you, if you're saved, you've got a testimony to tell. And that's the message we're to share with everybody. And so consider these three things. These three last things. And I'm gonna ask you, I know we're gonna do communion today, and we got a special day. We got a guy that's gonna get baptized today at the end of service. So there's three things that I want you to consider as we listen to this last song that I had Jim pull up for me this morning. Such a good song. Where he calls out their faith, work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope.